Get ready for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Well, here we are once again.
Well, well, well.
All gathered.
Look who came back.
Yeah, we're grateful that you came back. We're very thrilled that you're here. Thanks for downloading this, subscribing to it. Now you're listening to it. It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. We are working, by the way, on freeing up all of the podcasts. Have I told you the latest development with that?
What is it?
Well, instead of making it easy so I could just push one button and all of the podcasts become available.
Yeah, I know that.
They want me to go through each and every one by hand and do it, which is quite a chore because we've done more than 1,400 podcasts.
Yes.
And now I got to a point last night when I was working on it where there's audio that's missing.
What?
Yeah. So there's like shows that when I go to, when I free them, there's nothing attached to them.
Well,
and I'm asking these Podbean people like, hey,
where's
the audio? We've been paying for you guys to secure this audio all this time.
Yeah.
There's shows from like 3.5 years ago that aren't there, and it's more than one show.
Well, that's not cool.
So I'm waiting on them to explain what's going on with that. Hopefully they can find these shows, because otherwise we're going to have a real problem.
Oh, yeah. We're going to need a rebate.
Yeah. But that's enough of our problems. That's not why you're here. You're here to hear the very best we got done here on our morning show at Planet 93.9, the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. Let's get started with the top five things, and we'll begin with number one.
Yes, number one.
One.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
You know, they say having a common interest is good for couples.
Sure.
Doing something, making something, building something together. There's a couple in New Delhi, India that's in the news.
Seems to me like that could get you in a lot of trouble.
What's that?
Trying to put something together.
Well, you know, it's not uncommon. You buy furniture and you put it together. Sometimes.
Trying times.
I think a lot of that depends on who you are as a couple before you begin putting the bookshelf together. Because if things are going good in the relationship and you put the bookshelf together, that bookshelf's not going to test you in a way that's going to reveal anything that isn't underneath the surface.
Now, do they ever do that with, like, The Greatest Race or whatever those things are? I mean, I think that would be a good idea.
Oh, they're constantly building things.
Are they building stuff together?
Sometimes together. More often than not, one person will have to put something together.
Okay.
And then the other person has to kind of watch them put it together, which can be a little maddening.
Okay. So they do that stunt.
Oh, yeah. No, on the Amazing Race, they do that all the time.
Amazing Race.
Right. I'm thinking of one episode in particular that we watched not that long ago where they were in Italy and you split up into different, it's what they call it like a road trap or something. And they had to put together a Bacardi motorcycle.
Okay. And then the other one just gets to give the opinion that you don't know what you're doing.
You're not supposed to say anything other than, good job.
Okay.
But all the time, there's always one couple where somebody doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
And the person who wasn't selected to do the task is just hemming and hawing and pacing.
Right, we're going in last. We're going to be in last place.
Trying to be supportive, but it's like, oh, you're killing us. This couple in New Delhi, India, died by suicide by using a homemade guillotine.
Ooh.
That they used to decapitate themselves in a sacrificial ritual.
That is something else. That you built a guillotine together.
He was 38. She was 35. And they both died by decapitation after using a homemade bladed mechanism in a hut on their farm. What are you guys doing in that hut?
Hut stuff.
That's my favorite Donna Summer song. Looking for some hut stuff, baby, this evening. Gonna cut both of our heads off. Let's see, a police sub-inspector over there in India says the couple first prepared a fire altar before putting their heads under a guillotine-like mechanism held by a rope. As soon as they released the rope, an iron blade fell on them, severing their heads, which then rolled into the fire.
I guess I don't know that I've ever... It's a guillotine for two?
Isn't that romantic?
Never seen that before.
No, because I don't think it's ever been done before. It's a real innovation.
You have to, if we're going to do this together, yeah. I suggest that we got to build it for two. Because I don't.
I'm going to give a clue here now. I don't want any more any time during the day from anyone. That includes me. It's going to be very hot, going to be very uncomfortable for everybody.
I don't know that I trust you, and I don't know that I trust myself after seeing the first person go.
Nobody wants to see that. You don't want to see your wife's head get cut off or your husband's head cut off.
What is this, an Alice Cooper concert?
No, we'll do it together.
We have to make it a two-seater.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like a bicycle built for two.
Yes.
Except it cuts your head off. As soon as they released the rope, an iron blade fell on them, severing their heads, which then rolled into the fire. Fire, you see, is considered sacred in Hinduism, and it plays a significant role in several worship rituals. The couple apparently...
Apparently
designed the device used in their beheading in such a way that their heads would roll into the fire altar, completing their sacrificial ritual. Police said they found a note addressed to family members and they have launched an investigation. Like, I understand sacrificing something else, right?
I mean, do you guys have, what's your train of thought? I mean,
Well, I would be like, you know, look.
Let the good times roll.
Right. If a spouse was to say, you know, here's what we need to do. We need to build a guillotine and cut both our heads off. I would be like.
Excuse me?
Have we thought about maybe like sacrificing a goat or a chicken? Like, can we start there and see what happens? And just let's put a pin in this guillotine for two.
Yeah, to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Couple is survived by two children and their parents. The incident took place sometime between Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Family members told police that the pair had offered prayers in the hut every day for the last year. Ritual human sacrifices are not completely unknown in India. They say there were more than 100 reported cases between 2014 and 2021. Almost all known cases of human sacrifice involve people killing others to please gods rather than themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, that I can wrap my head around that. Like, let's get a virgin and throw her into a volcano. That makes some sense to me. I'm going to throw myself into a volcano? No, I don't think so. But they built it together and...
I just don't think I can do it. I can, you know, talk myself up and get psyched up and everything. I just think it... the last second when it's time to jump in the volcano, I'm just not sure I can do it.
I mean, have you ever seen me when somebody tells me the pool's a little chilly? How I hem and haw to get into the pool? Imagine a guillotine. No, thank you.
I've seen you at the pool when it's too cold. And you're off to the concession stand seeing if they've got hot chocolate. Which is a strange thing to request at the pool. It's like, they're like, no, we don't have any hot chocolate here at the summertime pool.
Do you have any?
That's okay. I'm going in. Struggling.
I see you got a lot of ice cream sandwiches and hot dog sandwiches, but do you have any warm chestnuts? I don't know. I guess I've got a taste for it. Does that make any sense?
Is that strange? Yes, I'm going to go down the slide, but I'd like some roasted chestnuts, please. You know, the chestnuts are not allowed in the pool. I know that.
Oh, no, I don't need you to tell me that.
No, I'm going to leave them by my, you know, shoes.
Hi, we're over there under the umbrella there. We're in the cabana. I was wondering, and stop me if you've heard this before. Do you have gingerbread houses?
And hot cider?
Could I get a big bowl of chicken noodle soup?
Yep.
I don't know. Something about this hot July weather makes me go crazy for chicken noodle soup. that something you could do for me?
Yeah, popcorn on a string. What are you gonna do? Decorate the cabana?
I see you got hamburgers and hot dogs.
Uh-huh. And even watermelon slices.
But... any chance I could get a turkey dinner with all the fixings? Is that something you offer here? At Splash Landing? Can you help me out?
I don't see everything, but you got any sweet potato casserole back there with the marshmallows?
You don't ask, you don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't know if you don't ask.
Well, maybe next time.
Something to think about. I just put on another round of SPF 300, and I'm wondering...
I know it's the hottest day of July.
You might not, but there's a good chance you do. You got any pumpkin pie with whipped cream back there for me? I don't know. I just got a taste for it. It's the strangest thing. I can't explain it. The heart wants what it wants.
I like the smell of chlorine.
Chlorine and pumpkin pie. That's my love. That's my love language. Chlorine and pumpkin pie is my love language. Can we make this happen? Would I be a real son of a baconator if I asked for some cream style corn? Do you have any of that back there at the snack shack?
No.
I'm seeing a lot of ice cream in the shape of SpongeBob SquarePants and Mickey Mouse. I don't suppose.
Would you like a push-up for my trunks? No, not for your trunks. We're not selling push-up trunks.
I don't suppose you're roasting a pig back there, are you? With a big pineapple in his mouth.
It's not a luau.
I guess I'll take the popcorn then. It's not a luau. Look at my Hawaiian shorts.
They're push-ups.
They accentuate my area.
Uh-huh.
Look how I've got the wiring under there
uh-huh.
to really push things up. It's by the people at Maidenform.
They're great, but I can't wear these when I fly.
You don't want to have these on in an MRI machine.
No.
Learn that lesson the hard way.
Twice.
Uh-uh. Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
This story from Philadelphia about a pizza delivery guy.
Are they getting ready for the draft?
Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's coming up here. Is that next week?
That is...
a week from tomorrow?
Yes, a week from tomorrow.
Oh, boy. This is a pizza delivery guy in Delaware County, Delco, who stopped a suspected car thief, being lauded as a... something of a hero here by NBC 10 in Philadelphia.
Right now on NBC 10 News at 11, the pizza delivery guy saves the day. Tonight, police in Delaware County are thanking this delivery driver for literally stopping a suspected car thief in his tracks.
So a car thief, this guy is delivering pizza.
Yes.
A car thief is running away from the cops. Pizza delivery guy just goes running out, sticks his foot out and trips this dude. It's pretty great.
Pretty boss, huh?
Thanks for staying up with us. I'm Rosemary Connors. When we report on crime, it's almost always the police who make the arrest. But today, it was a Coco's Pizza delivery driver right in the middle of making a delivery who helped.
Okay, he didn't. The pizza delivery guy, I want to be very clear, did not make the arrest.
No.
Police still do that.
Yes, but...
Today the cops are making pizzas and the pizza guys are making arrests.
Does he have the pizza on him?
Oh, yeah.
He's carrying the pizza?
Literally take down a suspect. NBC 10's Brian Sheehan talked with the driver from the Coco's Pizza in Aston and has more from the Brookhaven Police Department. Brian?
First of all, I want to know everything there's know about Coco's Pizza.
No kidding.
I get my water icer at Coco's. Watch Eagle Scam. Eccles.
Yeah, Rosemary, pizza was not the only thing Tyler delivered today. He also served up a slice of Delco pride. You just have to take a look at this video for yourself. This guy was not going to let anything happen on his watch. The 29-year-old Garnet Valley native thought it was going to be a run-of-the-mill shift today, but then around 3:45 this afternoon, as he was delivering a pizza to a customer in Brookhaven, it's safe to say his day got pretty interesting.
He has the pizza box in his hand, and it looks like, because the video is captured from like a Ring doorbell phone or a doorbell camera.
He has not made his way to the house with the pizza.
Well, it looks like they're ready to receive the pizza when he sees the guy running and he's like, hang on a second, I got to go take care of this.
Yeah.
And rather than hand off the pizza, he's got the pizza in his hand.
Yeah.
When he trips this guy running from the cops.
Brookhaven police tell us they were trying to pull over the driver of a stolen car out of Upper Darby, but the 17-year-old suspect kept going until he hit a pole in the neighborhood. He got out of the car and tried to get away, but he didn't make it very far, all thanks to Tyler, who saw what was happening and tripped the suspect as he ran past him. The suspect hit the ground and police took him into custody. Tyler saved the day. We caught up with this Delco hero a short time ago. Take a listen.
He starts running. I'm like, I got the pizza in my hand. I didn't get the cash yet for the pizza. So I'm like, I'm not going to go back without the money for this pie. So I just like did what I honestly feel like I did what anybody else would do. And that's kind of how I'm feeling, is like people think I did something extraordinary. And I don't really think I did. I think I just did what you're supposed to do in a situation like that. So I stuck my leg out and caught a pretty nasty bruise on it, but it is what it is. I'll survive.
So. What did the police say to you?
We were high-fiving, honestly. We were celebrating together a little bit.
Had a little pie.
I don't know if that's okay for them to do, so, but I felt good about it.
I don't get the cops in trouble for high-fiving me, but that's what they were doing, man.
How about a slice?
I know that dude.
I think they were happy to have an extra hand or foot to help them out, you know?
Yeah, you know, they certainly were, because Brookhaven police, they're talking about this tonight. They actually thanked him for stepping in, telling him, if you're interested in a job, we're always looking for good people. I caught up with the police chief a few minutes ago. Here's what he had to say about Tyler's heroic actions.
It was actually shocking to see that it was, that he just happened to be delivering a pizza there. And I understand the pizza ended up being delivered without any further incidents there with that. But, in all seriousness, though, we do ask people to not intervene, that we want to let the police handle it. But in this case, it did work out.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Cops do not want you getting involved when they're chasing down bad guys or suspects. But that is, because let me tell you this. If I were delivering that pizza, I would be going by what I call the code of Paul. My name is Paul, and that's between y'all.
And then the kid that they catch, it looks like he's got some interest in that pizza. Like, is there pizza?
Did I trip, or did I let myself trip with the promise of some sort of pizza pie?
I know that I've been captured, but Is there pizza? There's talk of pizza?
Yeah, it certainly did. Now, we are told that both suspects are facing charges. Rosemary, I have to say, I did ask Tyler about that job offer from Brookhaven Police. He says that he's going to stick to delivering pizzas for now.
Yeah.
We're live in Brookhaven tonight. I'm Brian Sheehan.
Yeah, I don't know that I could pass some of their tests, if you know what I'm saying.
Both jobs are kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
This day and age.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Three. All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
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 An elite Spanish mountaineer has just emerged from a cave after a year and a half alone underground, telling supporters she didn't want to come out because she says, I haven't finished my book.
And now, is she talking about writing one or reading one?
I can't read because it's so dark.
I can't read. Gosh dang it. I'll kick your rotten heads in.
I'll kick your rotten heads in.
I can't. It's too dark. You know how dark it is in a cave at night?
I have set myself up for a real catch-22 here.
It really is.
I said I wouldn't leave the cave until I finish reading this book.
And those rotten bats. I'll kick the rotten heads in.
It's all I deal with. I'll tell you this.
They're rats with wings.
If I could just read a chapter without hitting my head on a stalactite, that'd be great.
Knocking myself out for a week.
Beatrice Flamini is 50 years old. She has spent 500 days, two birthdays, in isolation about 230 feet below the ground outside of Granada. She returned to the surface on Friday, unaware. First of all, she had no idea that COVID-19 was over with.
And rumor has it she might sign with the Jets.
She had no idea that the war in Ukraine was going on, and she was unaware of the Queen Elizabeth's death. Well, why would she? She's Spanish, and she lives underground. She says here, when they came to see me, I was asleep.
Natch.
Her underground stay was supposed to end on the 500th day. She says, I thought something had happened. I said, already? Surely not. I hadn't finished my book. So she went in there saying, I'm going to spend 500 days down there. They come to get her and she's like, has it been 500 days already?
Huh?
That's what happens when you're in a cave. They've done experiments like this where they put people in rooms without clocks for a long time. And then when they come and get them, some of the people will be like, we've been in there a week. Some people will be, it's been 5 years. Like, we lose all sense of time. And in a cave, that's what happens.
My guess is, if you were to pass away,
yeah,
and then somehow you're reanimated.
Okay. I don't love where this is going.
And you didn't have, and it wasn't like, it wasn't relatives that came and said, how long do you think you've been gone?
Yeah.
My guess is that people would be like, ugh, 300 years? No.
Can I change the parameters of your what for? Because I don't think it's likely any of us are going to be reanimated from the grave.
I understand that.
Like, when a coma patient wakes up,
yeah,
they must ask them, how long do you think you've been out for?
Yeah.
Or do you tell them right away, this is how long you've been out for, so they can start to process?
I can see where professionals would say, you don't ask them that. You have to tell them right away so that they can start, you know, the acceptance of it and the healing, as opposed to making someone guess. But if you reanimated a dead person,
I'd make it a game show.
I think if you reanimated a dead person, they would be like, I don't know, is it 300 years? No, it's only been 12. 300.
Why would you think it's
300? Stop yourself.
Someone here says, I was in a coma for 16 days.
Wow.
I can't remember anything about the coma, but trust me, I've got the hospital bills to prove it.
Oh, I bet you do.
Wow. I don't know. You wake up from a coma.
You see that bill, and you're like,
put me back under.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
They asked, she had, a support crew that was lowering food and other supplies to her while she was in the cave. I'm going to ask a practical question at this point. If you're in a cave for 500 days,
yeah,
where are you going to the bathroom? Is there like a...
Wherever you want, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point...
Hopefully the same place.
Can I hit a double? Ha-ha!
That would be one of my things. It'd be like, no, I have to... This is going to be my place, as opposed to it being everywhere.
I don't want you guys coming down here. I've done some stuff. Asked if she ever panicked while she was underground. She said, never. In fact, I didn't want to come out. Her support crew lowered food and other supplies to her during her time in the cave. The subterranean feat set a record for time alone underground.
You don't know that.
The Guinness Book of World Records, though, says they are not ready to immediately confirm that that's true.
Good for them. You don't know what was going on 1,000 years ago.
She climbed into the cave on November 20th, 2021.
When?
November 20th, 2021.
Okay.
Her crew admitted that she surfaced for 8 days for repairs to a router that was used to send audio and video.
Well, then that's a reset.
But she remained isolated in a tent that whole time. Okay. Well, none of that counts,
that
then.
That doesn't count. That's a reset.
She said she spent her time underground exercising, painting, knitting hats, and working her way through 60 books.
Well, then how in the hell did you write a... Then she wasn't writing a book.
She says it didn't take long for her to lose track of time. She says, on day 65, I stopped counting and lost perception of time. I didn't talk to myself out loud, but I had internal conversations and got on very well with myself.
Oh, I'd have been talking out loud.
You have to remain conscious of your feelings, she says. If you're afraid, that's something natural, but never let panic in, or you will get paralyzed.
You know what the conversation would be that I'm having with myself down there?
Mm.
You are an idiot. You are an idiot for being down here.
Her support team provided her with clean clothes. Oh, it says here they also removed her waist and kept her fed. Beatrice, do you have your poop bucket for us? We'd like to take that from you now.
Well, I guess basically it starts out as a food bucket, and then when the food is gone.
Okay, well, here's my request. Two separate buckets, different colors. Very important. Big labels on them.
I want the bathroom one to glow in the dark.
Her support team gave her clean clothes, removed her waist, and kept her fed, including her favorite avocados and fresh eggs. But they were under strict orders not to communicate directly with her. She says, if it's no communication, it's no communication, regardless of the circumstances. The people who knew me respected that. She was monitored by experts and they...
Who paid for all this?
I don't know. Somebody. She was monitored by experts and provided a panic button, but she never used it. A team of psychologists, researchers, cave specialists and physical trainers will now examine her to study the effects of isolation and potential disorientation from being secluded for so long.
Now, when you say cave specialists, you mean cavemen?
Get the cavemen on the phone. The Guinness Book of World Records credits a group of 33 miners trapped underground for 69 days in 2010. They're saying that's the longest time survived trapped underground. Is there a separate record for voluntary time underground? The Guinness Book of World Records is saying no comment. She did this all for nothing. It's my favorite story of the week. And I'm willing to say that before 8 o'clock on a Monday.
That would be my favorite job ever. If to work for
telling people that have done something stupid that it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And telling them no comments.
Put that in my veins. That would be my favorite thing of all time.
So is that a record? No.
Not only am I'm not even willing to say it's not.
Yeah. Right.
Mike, what we're willing to say here at Guinness Book of World Records is
the good people here at Guinness says no comments. Okay.
Four.
Guy wakes up to find that his dog had chewed something while he was sleeping. I mean, that happens, right? Dogs will...
Chewed on something?
Yeah. That something was not a leg of a couch or, you know, like the carpet or whatever dogs chew on. He woke up to find that his dog had chewed his toe to the bone.
And you don't feel this.
Well, it does seem like something you would be aware of, yes? Retired builder says he woke up in horror to find that his pet puppy had chewed his big toe to the bone. David Lindsay is 64 years old. Startled by his wife's scream, as he lay asleep on a sofa at their home, only to find his right big toe was covered in blood.
Can you keep it down?
What does it say that a dog consuming your flesh doesn't wake you up, but your wife's scream sure will. What's going on?
Now what?
What is it now? Well, you're being eaten, dear. The dog, the puppy, is eating you. Hey, wake up, stupid. The bone in his toe had been fractured by his 7-month-old bulldog puppy. The dog's name is Harley. This happened as he slept. His toenail was left hanging off. So you're wondering, how do you not feel it? It turns out that Harley the dog, in chewing this dude's foot, may have saved his life.
Because?
The horror incident turned out to be a lifesaver because doctors later discovered that this guy had lost the feeling in his feet due to 2 blocked arteries in his legs.
Ah.
He says he has no plans to get rid of this dog after it inadvertently saved his life.
No more treats today, though.
I'll tell you this.
You've had enough.
And I'm done giving myself Gainsburger's pedicures. That's over with. It's just... He says, I was asleep on the couch when my wife walked in and shouted, Dave, the puppy's chewing your toe.
What's that?
That almost sounds like a phrase you would use in a spy movie. You meet on a foggy night under a bridge, both wearing trench coats. Dave, the puppy's chewing your toe.
I don't know your puppy.
Here's the microfiche. You must get it out of the country.
How do you suggest I do that?
Says here, quote, it chewed down to the bone and cracked it. But because of all this, I discovered my foot is completely numb. I can't feel anything. You wouldn't have noticed that your foot was numb before your dog consumed your toe?
Maybe not.
His wife wrapped up his toe. They rushed to the hospital. He's been in the hospital, it says, for 9 days. They put him on intravenous antibiotics to stop the infection caused by the dog bite from spreading to his bones and his foot there. But it's only because of this severe mauling that his toe endured that David discovered he couldn't feel his foot. During CAT scans for the fractured toe, the doctors discovered not one, but 2 blocked arteries. The blockages could put his whole leg in danger of needing to be amputated if the blood supply wasn't returned. So thanks to this puppy, he's now being assessed for stents, which would open up the arteries and allow the blood flow to return to his leg.
Good boy.
Yeah. I mean, not the best. This is his first bulldog. But he says, yeah, this dog did me a favor by chewing on my toe. I guess, yeah, focus more on the fact that the dog was saving your life inadvertently than the fact that the dog was trying to eat you while you were sleeping.
And he still has a taste for it.
And now, that's true.
He turns his nose up at other things.
It's so strange. The dog won't eat the food we put in his bowl.
Boy.
It's like he's waiting for you to come home from the hospital for some reason.
Uh-huh. Can't wait to see you.
Number 5.
Number 5.
The other day, when it was howling, I mean, it was stupid cold, and the wind was howling at like 40 miles an hour, no joke, as I'm driving around and just shivering, in part because... Once it was in the 80s, I think I made a decision, or my body did, that that's where we need to be.
Were your teeth chattering?
Not quite teeth chattering. I wasn't out in it for long enough to get to that point where there's involuntary responses to the cold. But as that's going on, it's just cold and miserable, and the wind is blowing, and as I'm driving on my way back home after another incredibly successful day here at Planet 93.9, I see a guy jogging, and I think, really? Now? Now you want to go jogging? Like, they don't take the day off, do they?
Who, the joggers?
The joggers, the runners. It's like, even now, you're going to go out and run in this. I mean, more power to you. It's a jealousy that fuels my response more than anything. Because I wish I could be that committed to fitness, you know?
I don't think jogging would be good on your body.
Well, thank you.
That's not a compliment.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, snap. No, it's just, I think it'd beat up your feet. It'd beat up your knees.
Well, no, I'm on the treadmill pretty much every day, so my knees are fine. My feet are fine. So far, I need to knock on some wood. Something I'll never understand is ultra running.
What is ultra running?
Ultra running is where you run, like, distances that don't make any sense.
Well, how does anyone have time for that? Don't you have anywhere else you have to be?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to go run 120 miles.
An ultra marathon is any foot race that's longer than the traditional marathon.
That makes sense. Anything more than 26.3 is an ultra marathon.
Sometimes it's in terms of hours. Sometimes it's in terms of miles. Like there's a, let's see, I'm looking here. Alexander Sorokin from Lithuania has the current record for the 100 mile race. Did it in 10 hours, 51 minutes, and 39 seconds. So, like, you're running for 11 hours, you go 100 miles.
That's do you run crazy. 50 and turn around? I think that's best.
It would make more sense. There's even a 1,000-mile race. Yannis Koros of Greece has the world record for that, for the 1,000-mile race. I got it done in 10 days, 10 hours, 30 minutes, and 36 seconds.
And that's all vacation time. You've just eaten up your entire vacation.
I just ran the whole time.
2 weeks. Your 2 weeks are gone.
I'm looking at some of these races. Like there's a 145-mile Grand Union Canal race.
You think you could walk a marathon?
Well, sure. I could walk a marathon, no problem.
Well, it'd be a problem.
Well, yes.
Yes, the opposite of no.
Well, it wouldn't be a problem for me. It'd be a problem for people that had to deal with me after I got done with it. I would be insufferable.
Why?
Did I ever tell you about that marathon I walked? Yeah, no big deal.
You walked it. I guess
I ran part of a marathon once as a part of a relay.
Well, I can run part of a marathon right now.
Okay, he says that as he points to the door of the studio. Do you think running that far is part of a marathon?
Well, if my intention was 26.2, I just didn't finish it. But it was part of a marathon.
I'm doing it in pieces is what I'm doing.
Part of a marathon. Truth be told, I don't like to be in a car for 26.2 miles.
Hosiah Zakrzewski is a top competitor in this sport of ultra running. She just won the Taipei Ultra Marathon in Taiwan back in February. But at her most recent race, organizers had to disqualify her.
Why?
Well, she did part of the ultra running, the ultra marathon. They say she traveled a portion of the route by car.
Always.
Not so fast.
Always with the car.
I'm guessing that's frowned upon?
Yep, it is.
She's 47 years old. She was initially awarded third place in the 50-mile GB Ultras Manchester to Liverpool. So this was back on April 7th. She got third place in this 50-mile race. Now that the third place has been awarded to someone else because they say having reviewed the data from our race tracking system, GPX data, statements provided from our event team, other competitors, and from the participant herself, we can confirm that the runner has now been disqualified from the event, having taken vehicle transport during part of the route.
Yes, everyone agrees she cheated, even her.
They say that the GPX data showed her covering a mile of the route in just a minute and 40 seconds.
A mile?
Yeah. You know, they have little... There's like a little chip on your bib that when they give that to you. And as they're looking at it, she ran a mile in 1 minute and 40 seconds.
That almost sounds like a record.
You did a mile of the route in 1:40, huh? She was ultimately discovered to have ridden in a car for 2.5 miles of the route. So it's a 50-mile race, 2.5 miles she was in a car. She still ran for quite a bit, but...
No, she did. She ran more than a marathon, but still.
Why would you... What would be the point of this? I guess she was feeling sick and tired during the race and wanted to drop out. That's why she got in the car. But then I guess after being in the car for a while, she felt good enough to finish the race. This woman has a number of other significant wins and records to her name. And now you got to ask yourself, like, is anything that she's done been on the up and up, or?
And we're not talking about racing.
We need to review everything. I like, too, how this organization says, we have video, we have GPS testing, we have everyone saw her do this, we have her competitor saw her do this.
She confessed to it.
She said that she did it.
Yeah. That's all the proof you need.
The Boston Marathon was on Monday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It looked like it was a great success. Guy I know, Jordan, ran it for the first time ever. He said it was everything he hoped it would
Who's
be.
Who's Jordan?
A buddy of mine. He works on Brood.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
Of course, whenever we talk about the Boston Marathon, you have to talk about Rosie Ruiz. Rosie Ruiz, the winner of the 84th Boston Marathon back in 1980. Although...
She also had some help.
Yeah, she jumped onto the course 0.5 mile before the finish. That's not bad. Jumping onto the course with a half mile left in a marathon and just going,
I think winner. She's not even sweating.
I'll start here. You have to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which she qualified for the New York City Marathon. And was credited with a time of 2 hours, 56 minutes, 29 seconds. She came in 11th place overall in the New York City Marathon, and that qualified her for the Boston Marathon.
But this time, I've got a different plan. I'm good enough to run the marathon. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to. It hurts, and it's stupid.
Her application arrived after the cutoff date, but she got a special dispensation because she said she was dying of brain cancer. Oh, always with the brain cancer,
don't
these
do
people.
That.
Yeah. After the Boston Marathon, the New York City Marathon people investigated her run and concluded that she did not run that course either.
Oh, wait a minute.
So she was retroactively disqualified from that race as well. She appeared to win the Boston Marathon on April 21st, 1980, with a time of 2 hours, 31 minutes, and 56 seconds. Wow.
Pretty good.
You shaved 25 minutes off your time, and it's your second marathon. Her time would have been the fastest female time in Boston Marathon history.
I didn't eat all those donuts this time.
As well as the third fastest female time ever recorded in any marathon. But suspicions mounted after the winner of the marathon, our own Bill Rogers. He just won his third straight Boston Marathon, and he noticed when he was talking to her that she couldn't recall a bunch of stuff that most runners would know by heart. Like, hey, what were your splits? What were your intervals?
What are you talking about?
She's like, yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. It's such a blur. Other observers noticed that she was not panting or coated in sweat. And her thighs sure looked less lean and muscular than you would expect for a world-class runner.
She'd be a good person to go to an amusement park with.
Why is that?
Get to the front of the line.
When asked
Rosie's going to make it happen.
When a reporter asked her, gee, it seems like you don't really seem very fatigued having just run a marathon. Her response was, quote, I got up with a lot of energy this morning.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Also, most serious, no other runners could recall ever seeing her on the course.
No, I don't remember her.
One runner was told she was leading the race at the 18-mile mark. But they never saw this Rosie Ruiz. Several spotters at checkpoints throughout the course also did not remember seeing her in the first group of women. Oops. Two Harvard students recalled seeing her burst out of a crowd of spectators a half a mile from the finish.
That we do remember.
Not long after that, a freelance photographer reported meeting Rosie on the subway during the New York City Marathon and accompanied her from the subway to the race. You took the subway? Oh, no. 2 years after her Boston Marathon fiasco, she was arrested for embezzling $60,000 from a real estate company where she worked. She then did a week in jail and was sentenced to 5 years probation. She then moved to South Florida, where she was arrested the following year for her involvement in a cocaine deal.
Just trying to make things happen is all.
She maintained forever that she did, in fact, run the entire Boston Marathon.
You guys are out of your minds.
She never once copped to it. Oh, man. Rosie Ruiz. She ended up dying of cancer in 2019. But she maintained, no, I did it. And those people are wrong. Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And that was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for listening to it and downloading it and subscribing it. And if you get a chance, tell somebody that you listen to it. You know?
That'd be helpful. Tell somebody.
Yes.
Just even...
Go up to strangers and ask
walking by on the street.
Yes, just mutter it under your breath and have kind of a faraway look in your eye. That would be helpful.
Or when you go buy something at a convenience store, you're just kind of like... Dave and Darren podcast.
There you go. Yes, that's exactly the energy that we're asking for. I don't think that's too much. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Okay, so I'll see you later, huh? I'll give you a call.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right, show's over. I'm tired.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.